Hello, I'm Curtis Powers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. Hope you had a good week. There's so much going on. I'm going to get right into things here quickly. What we're going to be talking about this week is what's going on in Afghanistan, but related to the long march through the institutions. I want to show you that what's going on over there right now is not ineptness. It's not people not knowing what they're doing. It's people very strategically doing what they need to do to accomplish their goals. And as I looked at Afghanistan and then the last 130 years of the long march through the institution, I realized that they have succeeded. They have marched through all the institutions and they do control them now. So what does that mean for us? I think you'll also find it very interesting as I go into 1984 by George Orwell and show you all the key things that were in that society with Big Brother we have in America today, and they're slowly growing more and more. So anyway, I think it'll be very educational and informative, but help you understand how Afghanistan fits into the long march through the institutions. But again, thank you so much. Those that are not subscribers, please consider going to agendaweekly.com to get all the resources we offer every week and to help support us in the process. But thank you so much. Before we dig in, I want to mention that I got a few emails from some of you last week saying that you thought maybe the numbers I used on the percent of women having miscarriages in the first trimester was off. So I went back and looked at the study and many doctors that had reviewed the study, and there was a lot of problems to begin with. What happened is they did a study of pregnant women with the vaccine, but a lot of the women were in their second or third trimester, so they'd already passed the first trimester where you're most likely to have a miscarriage and most fragile in your pregnancy. And so that messes the numbers up. And then also, about 30% of the ladies involved, they voluntarily in the first trimester had an abortion. So they ended the life of their own child. So you don't know what would have happened from the vaccine. But the doctor that I had read his paper on it, he just dealt with the ladies that took the vaccine in the first trimester that didn't have an abortion and that had a miscarriage, and it was 80% of that small group of this big study that involved a lot of different people. Anyway, I don't want to waste too much time on that, but on to today. A couple interesting news notes before we get into the meat of what we're going to be talking about. It was 50 years ago this year that Nixon took America off the gold standard. And he promised at that time, he said it would not diminish the value at all. It wouldn't drop at all. Well, we now know today, 50 years later, that the dollar, even from the government's numbers, has lost 90% of its value. And I think it's way higher than that because their numbers, they always say inflation's hardly anything. Well, we know it's not hardly anything. Everything every year keeps going up dramatically. But anyway, that was an amazing thing to see, that another politician just lying to us about the consequences of their actions. Couple questions from you all. Should we take the checks they're sending us for the child tax credit? My thoughts on that are this. Yeah, it's not good they're sending everybody money. Yeah, we don't need their money to survive and do the things we need to do, but we're gonna have to pay it back anyway. That's the terrible reality is all this money they're giving out, it's our money they're giving out. They don't have any money. And so on one hand, I say maybe take it and stock up with it, with your prepping stuff or different things. Use it for something productive for your family because you're going to have to pay it back anyway. Even if you don't take it, it's debt to your account. So anyway, that's just my opinion on that. But I don't like that they're doing that either. Another question was, we know that your family has lived in RVs some as you traveled the country with your films, which we have. And they said, is that a good position to be in if the wheels start coming off? And it is in one respect. It's different when you're in an RV traveling around the country. I would say this, those of you that live in blue states that are radical, that are doing crazy things. It might be good if you're able to do it, to get a little RV and go practice going out weekends with the family, where you get comfortable in packing it up and going out and living in it. Because if the wheels really came off in certain areas, it would be a nice thing to have, where you could hop in that RV with your family and head off. And of course, you can just get a trailer to pull behind your car or truck. But anyway, that's something to think about as an alternative to maybe not being able to afford a property somewhere else or be able to move right now, but you're making yourself where you would be flexible if you needed to be. And this last question kind of ties in to the purposefulness behind the decline in America and what's going on in Afghanistan. But this was interesting. Kathleen wrote, TV shows in the 60s and 70s, although the storylines were edited and checked for wholesome content, we were already being groomed to view a family as something other than a home with a mother and a father that were together and raising the children. Here's a quick list of some of the shows we loved, but showcased single-parent households. Remember Flipper, single dad, Andy Griffith, single dad, My Three Sons, single dad, Julia, single mom, Nanny and the Professor, single dad, The Partridge Family was a single mom, Rifleman was a single dad, Bonanza was a single dad. We moved into the 80s and it really went crazy. Three's Company had co-ed roommates, Full House were three men raising little girls. Any families that were intact usually were dysfunctional, and the dad was made to be a simple-minded fool. Just something I realized, thought it was interesting. It is interesting because that's all purposeful. You don't write scripts and have stories that you're telling that you don't know what the point to them is. You always know the point to what the story you're telling. And no, they were grooming us for that, where it was normal. A family's not a mom and a dad and and children. And so anyway, it is sad to see that, but that's part of this long march through the institutions. When they got into Hollywood, they realized, okay, we're going to start changing people's perception of family, because we know we've got to break down the family if we ever want to succeed in taking America down. And so even 60 years ago, slowly changing things so we would be influenced, and we were. Now, as I get into really the takeover of America from within, if you haven't seen my movies, you need to, because they paint the long history. But I start them back in 1883 with the Fabian Socialist Society, which was a group. Their only intention was to socialize the world, to have socialism in every country of the world. And of course, many of them came to America to start working toward getting us to accept socialist ideas. And the way they said they were going to do that is to create problems and create chaos. And when there was things going on out of control, people would accept the changes that could keep marching us toward socialism. Well, that's exactly what they've done. And as I go into some of these articles, I'm going to read some of these on what's going on in Afghanistan, but it all ties in together, where I'm going to show you this is part of a big 100-year plan that we shouldn't be so naive to think, again, oh, these people just don't get it. These generals are idiots. They don't have a clue what's going on. Unfortunately, I wish that was the problem. That's an easy problem to fix. You fire them and get others. It's an ideology that they've bought into, and we are suffering the consequences. This first article I'm going to read from is, the Pentagon and the generals wanted this disastrous war. Here's a few key things. U.S. forces abandoned Bagram Airfield in the middle of the night, and the U.S. didn't even tell its allies what was going on. Afghan officials discovered the U.S. was gone hours later. Shortly thereafter, looters ransacked the base. That's not an accident. When you don't tell the people that you're working there with, that you've been training, that you're leaving, that's not an accident. And one of the key reasons they wanted to do that is to create the chaos. And I'll tell you why they wanted tremendous chaos there in Afghanistan in just a minute. But indeed, for the U.S. local allies, this situation is far worse than it was in 2001. That's what's happened to every country we've been involved with since World War II. It's made the situation far worse. Vietnam was a nightmare after we left, 10 times worse than before we came. Those who were unwise enough to ally themselves with the Americans over the past 20 years now face reprisals from the Taliban. Death will likely be the result for many. So any of those Afghan people that thought, oh, we're going to help the Americans do whatever they're doing in our country, which we didn't have a goal of doing anything. It was just endless wars. But if we would have had a goal, they were wanting to help us accomplish that, and now they're all going to be subject to torture and probably death. So now we reach the stage of figuring out who is to blame for this total strategic failure in Afghanistan. And here's my point. These are big articles by big institutions talking about this, and they don't even get it. It's exactly what was planned. There's nobody at fault. This is exactly the way they wanted it to go down. Why is that? They know we have a tender heart. They want our heartstrings to be pulled when we see the people hanging onto the planes as they're taking off and falling to their death. They want us to see all that and the chaos. So we'll open our borders even more and allow millions of the Afghans to come over here into our country, as if it's our responsibility now because we created the chaos. That's what they're setting up. They know with the southern border wide open and 2 million coming that way this year, and if they can get 2 million Afghans, and I heard some congressmen saying we should take up to 2 million. If we get that coming in, our country's finished just from that alone. You can't bring 4 million people in 1 year in that don't speak the language, have a different culture, don't do things the same way you do them, and have an ideology that a lot of them believe that is not capable of coexisting with the American way of life and the Constitution. Here's an interesting thing that Ron Paul said about it. He said, the generals and other high-ranking military officers lied to their commander-in-chief and to the American people for years about progress in Afghanistan. The same is true for the U.S. intelligence agencies. Unless there is a major purge of those who lied and misled, we can count on these disasters to continue until the last U.S. dollar goes up in smoke. And the reason they did this, the General Milley and all these other, they're Marxist. They're not misguided. They're doing exactly what they want to do to take America down. He's the one so focused on diversity training. Well, here's something that came to mind that's really powerful. They are the ones that trained the Afghan military over the last 20 years. And look how fast they collapsed with the Taliban attacking them with far fewer numbers, but that's how poorly they were trained. Well, let me just tell you, that is a signal that's been sent to everybody now, because those are the same people that train our military. China knows now they can take us. If those are the idiots that are training Afghan military, and they're the same idiots training American forces, that means American forces are not ready to fight either. This is significant. We all know that now. It's a joke. Our military's a joke. Okay, because of those in leadership are purposely not training them for warfare, just like they purposely did not train the Afghanistan military for warfare. They trained them to think about women's rights and diversity programs and all these other things instead of preparing for battle. So they weren't ready to go to battle, and we see what happens in days. Well, that's our military right now, and everybody knows that. So it's really put us in jeopardy, but we have to acknowledge the key thing we've learned. Our generals are Marxists, they're Reds, that have infiltrated the institutions of influence, which one of those is the military. And we have to acknowledge that's been taken over too. We know that Hollywood and the media and the schools, we know all those things have been taken over for decades. But now we have to acknowledge decades ago, our military was taken over and we didn't realize it. So we're still patriotic, waving the flag toward our military. Our military is evil, the leaders of it. Okay, and they're going to do nothing except things that are going to weaken our military, make our soldiers unprepared to engage in battle, so when China or anyone else attacks, we will not be ready and we will fall. And I know that's a hard reality, but it's true. They want us to fall. And so that's why they're doing everything they can to make it so. Here's a key thing this article goes on to talk about. Listen to this. He says, but don't expect any meaningful reform. No, there's not going to be. In the United States, when bureaucrats fail, they usually get rewarded with larger budgets, such as when the U.S. intelligence community allowed 9/11 to occur right under their collective nose. Their budgets went up tenfold. And that's what always happens. But again, these people think it's kind of just a failure. It's not a failure. It's purposeful. They planned it out. In other words, the generals and the civilian politicians are hard at work planning the next Afghanistan. Yes, they are, to drain our funds from us, because we put all this money into the military. We spent $1 trillion trying to help out Afghanistan, and then we just leave. So it's all wasted. David Petraeus was the greatest strategic genius behind the surge in both Iraq and Afghanistan, both of which accomplished nothing more than prolonging lost wars. He went on to head the CIA, these evil people. He also gave classified information to his mistress and intentionally lied to federal investigators about it. I mean, these are things we know. These are traitors in our midst. They are enemies from within. That's who all these people are. It's planned failure. Iraq today is 1,000 times worse off than before we went in there. Under Saddam Hussein, the people had 1,000 times more freedom. The Christians were free to live their life and weren't being persecuted. Since then, a couple million Christians have had to flee because it's out of control now. And our military killed 1 million Iraqi civilians. Unacceptable. These people, the George W. Bushes, the David Petraeuses, are evil people, and they're working to destroy our government, destroy America, and set up a one world government. We have to finally click it in our minds. It's not failure, it's success. Okay? And that's what I just see. All the articles, they're off on everything. But one key point they also made, I think, is true. This move of what's going on in Afghanistan seems to be a diversion to draw attention away from a planned midsummer session where they will once again attempt to get H.R. 1 passed. H.R. 1 is where the federal government takes over elections so we can never win again. I believe that is right. It's another, you know, smoke and mirrors. Look over here. Oh, this is so terrible. It accomplishes so many things, which I'm going to talk about. One of the things it accomplished, it gave our enemies, the Taliban, $83 billion, not million, billion dollars worth of guns, ammo, helicopters, rocket launchers. Now the Taliban has that. $83 billion. They'll be able to do anything they want to do, fend off anyone, take over more country if they need to. They'll be able to do anything. They're so well outfitted. That was strategic. We could have moved that stuff out before we left. You don't leave $83 billion worth of arms behind when you leave someplace. Obviously, but it was all part of the plan. Who paid for those arms? We did. Another key strategy was it's going to now bring in a huge wave of radical Muslims into our country. We're going to open up and let thousands and thousands. They already said 30,000, but I bet you it'll go up to 1 million before long, because they're going to keep showing the pictures of the suffering and the misery. Here's the crazy thing. There's 50 plus other Islamic countries in the world. Why in the world would they need to come to America? There's 50 other places they can go and have the same culture, language, religion, and everything else. Well, the reason they have to come here, because it's part of the plan. After all, it's our fault what's happened in Afghanistan. So we have to help the people that are suffering. And that's what's going to be used. The elites love chaos. Biden is expendable. If they even have to lose him over this, where the backlash is so great, they don't care. He's not there anyway anymore, and they would rather have Kamala Harris as president anyway. So they have nothing to lose. But here's a key thing a lot of people aren't talking about. The reason we had to allow Afghanistan to collapse is because Biden, who is a stooge of China, wanted to give Afghanistan to China. China right now is negotiating for all the rare earth minerals inside of Afghanistan, which should have been ours. When we come over there and spend 20 years in helping those, we should have started mining those minerals and created jobs for the locals and helped fund the country in that kind of way, but also help America so we have those minerals to make the batteries and things that we need. But no, China needed all those rare earth minerals to accomplish Biden's goal of having all cars be electric by 2030. They are the main battery producers for the world. America doesn't hardly produce any batteries or anything. It all comes from Red China, and they needed that so they can then create the batteries for us to buy. So we're dependent on China, even for our vehicles, and even be able to drive around. Biden, of course, has been making deals for decades with the CCP, and this is another way he's going to be profiting from them. So this is all purposeful. The immigration, it's helping China. It's helping radical Islam. They now have $83 billion worth of weapons to use as they terrorize the world. Al-Qaeda and all the other ones are going to have a base now to train and to be supplied from to go out throughout the world. China and Russia are using this to teach the world America doesn't keep their word. You can't trust them. China's already using it in putting pressure on other governments. Do you want us to be your supplier or do you want America? They're not trustworthy and we are, and they're trying to turn the world against us, and they're going to be successful at doing that. Now I want to get into and show you how all this ties in to how we're heading toward 1984 right here in America, the things going on. You probably saw this last week, the potential terror threats by the Department of Homeland Security. The number one terror threat is opposition to COVID measures. Anyone that doesn't want to get the shot, doesn't want to wear the mask, doesn't want to do that, they said that's the number one terror threat to our country. Number two, claims of election fraud and the belief Trump can be reinstated. Anyone that believes that, they're a terror threat to our country. When you see that, people resisting COVID, people that think there was any election fraud, they are the number one terrorist threat. You know your country has been taken over. Only the enemies of the country would say that. Then you look at Apple. Apple will scan iPhones for illegal child abuse images. What's the definition of that? And how do they have a right to do that? If they're scanning for that, are they not scanning for everything else? It shows they're working with our government. Why? Because Apple can't arrest anyone. So if they're scanning people's phones and find something illegal, they're obviously then working with the FBI or the CIA. And so it just shows all the big tech is working with our government. And I'll talk more about that in a second, too. Los Angeles to require vaccinations to get groceries. That's 1984. You take this experimental procedure or we'll starve you to death. Here's what the city council people said. It's our responsibility to protect the public. That includes protecting them from the unvaccinated. The decision to not get vaccinated doesn't just affect you. How does it affect anyone? If you got the vaccine and wanted it, and I even have COVID, if the vaccine works, it's not affecting anyone. They seem to forget that one little problem. But then they went on and said this. On August 11th, the council members voted unanimously on an ordinance that seeks to starve out the unvaccinated by denying them access to retail grocery stores. That's 1984. When you have governments stop you from being able to eat because you won't do what they say, that's where we are. Now, here's some of the things that tie all this together into 1984. There's a video I have below, and you can watch it if you want more details on this by the Academy of Ideas. But here's the facts. The state is slowly getting control of everything. We have a video below also by Dr. Shiva, and he talks about in a very powerful way how Twitter and Facebook and Google and all those things, they are not the ones censoring us. He has proven now it's the federal government telling Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, this is who you drop. And he has the court, he has a court case going on dealing with this right now, but he has the documentation to prove that's who's doing this. So all the big tech companies, they are controlled by the FBI and the CIA, and they do exactly what they're told. It doesn't mean they're not liberals in charge anyway. They're happy to go along, but they're being forced to go along whether they like it or not. And that's the sign of a 1984 society, when government is in control of business, control of technology, control of the educational system, control of media and everything else. I mean, surveillance. In the 1984 world of George Orwell, cameras were everywhere. Well, they are today. Contact tracing is going on where they're keeping track of where you are, what you're doing. And video cameras are just being put up by the millions each year right here in America. The society of 1984, it also thrived on chaos and fear. They made everyone so fearful of everything, they just did what they were told. That's right where we are today. They also, people were encouraged to spy on each other. Well, we've seen that over the last 10 years, many times since Obama was in office, encouraging, if you see something, say something. You know, if you see your neighbor doing something unusual, report him to us and we'll check it out. Turning you against each other so it makes you more and more close into your own house where you don't want to talk to anybody and you're scared that you might get in trouble for saying the wrong thing. That's exactly where we are today. People are scared. I might say something that sounds racist. I'm not a racist, but I better just be quiet because one word out of my mouth that sounds wrong, I'm going to lose my job and my career and my life. But it's exactly where they were. One of the key things from 1984, Big Brother was always rewriting the past. That's what's happening right now. The reason they do that is to remove our reference points of how much we're changing. If you erase the past, then you don't realize how different we are today than we were 50 years ago. And that's what they're trying to do. George Orwell said, "Everything faded into mist. The past was erased, the erasure was forgotten, and the lie became truth." That's what they're doing right now with our founding fathers, with everything. They're just erasing it all, changing the past. Slowly it'll be forgotten. And the lie that they were all evil, wicked people and didn't care anything about freedom will be the truth. That's what everyone will believe. Listen to this. If this doesn't sound like America today, 1984. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book has been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street and building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And that process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. I mean, that's exactly where we are. Listen to Fauci. Put on your mask. Take off your mask. A mask doesn't work. You need two masks on. It's all purposeful. We have to understand that. This is all written in 1948. And it was known long before that. If you want to manipulate a people, want to destroy a people, these are the things you have to do. One of the other key objectives of the Big Brother was you have to destroy the belief in objective truth, where there's black and there's white. You have to destroy that. And they've done that with political correctness, moral relativism, send conflicting reports of information to people that are filled with lies constantly. Make sure tomorrow's information conflicts with today's, just like I was talking about with Fauci. That's a key strategy. A lot of people, again, are saying, these people are idiots. He told us not to wear masks. Now he's telling us to wear masks. It's all part of the strategy to create confusion. It starts to brainwash the mind, where it just does what it's told because it feels it can't understand what's really going on. This is strategic. This is written 70 plus years ago. Listen to this. The totalitarian state sets up unquestionable dogmas and it alters them from day to day. So it says, today it says, this is absolute truth. And then tomorrow it says, this is absolute truth. And this contradicts what they said the day before. And they do that intentionally. It needs the dogmas because it needs absolute obedience from its subjects. The reason why that is such a key strategy is because it's easier to convince people to live by lies when no one knows the truth for sure. You hear so many contradicting things, you're not positive of what's really truth. And so when they just tell you something, you've got to get the vaccination, you have to wear a mask, you have to be socially distanced, you have to stay in your homes unless absolute necessary, whatever, you just do it because you're like, I heard other doctors tell me you don't need the mask at all and the vaccines are dangerous. And I heard this and I heard that. And they create that confusion intentionally. So we just finally just do what I'm told. I don't know what's going on, so I'll just do what I'm told. Again, of course, Big Brother said, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And that is right where we are. We are in a society of total confusion, and it's purposeful. We've got to stop saying these people are fools, or they're inept, or they're not capable. They are Marxist. They have penetrated the institutions of influence and risen up to the top, and they are in total control of our country. Our government, the Department of Justice, and all the institutions of influence. So what are some things we can be doing about this reality? I think first and foremost, we have to get the kids out of the school system. That's number one. We have to keep the next generation on our team, and we can't do that if they're in these indoctrination centers that are being run by the Marxists who only have one goal, to take America down. So that's just top priority. We have to keep the hearts and minds and souls of our youth. We also, like we talked about last week, we need to not live by lies. We have to stand. When a lie is spoken, we'll say, that's a lie, and I'm not listening to that. We have to stand up and pray that God will allow our courage to be contagious to other people, where we get more and more people to stand. Now, there's been times like this before in world history. In fact, as I was thinking about it, and this is important for you to realize, since Adam and Eve, the normal scenario has been suffering for people. They've been abused by governments, by thugs, by the lawless. That's been the normal thing for the last 6,000 years. America changed that and all of a sudden came, and it was a totally different world where all of a sudden you were really free. And you really weren't just being tormented every day by bullies or by government or by other people. You had this freedom and you had this safety and security, and it was a system set up to do that. And so America is the only exception to misery and suffering under evil governments in world history. So the fact that God allowed us to live here and be raised here is a great blessing, but we have to realize sometimes you have to suffer. Most people that have been born since Adam and Eve have suffered tremendously in their lifetime at the hands of bullies and thugs and governments. And so that's a reality we need to realize is true. But there's a story out of the Bible that so relates to us today. And listen to this is our path forward. Okay, if we're going to get serious about following God and being willing to be used by Him, whatever the cost, this is the path forward. And it's a fantastic story. It's in the book of Nehemiah. Okay, in Nehemiah, of course, they'd been taken over. They were all in captivity and slavery. And Nehemiah now is the cupbearer for the king in this new country as a slave. And he wants to get a report. What's happened in Jerusalem? You know, his homeland, where he's from. What's it like? And someone finally comes and tells him what's going on here. And this is what they said. And Nehemiah is talking. He said, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." That was the situation. And he hears that. That's what's happened to his country. They're being afflicted. The walls have been torn down. The gates are burned with fire. Well, let me tell you something if you haven't noticed. The walls are down figuratively and literally in America. The gates have been burned with fire. The enemy can come and go as they please because they're in control of everything. We are in the same situation. We are slaves of a system now that is against us. We appear to have the illusion of some freedoms, but we don't. And we're going to see we don't as the noose keeps tightening around our neck. But he heard that. He heard the walls are down. The gates have been burned. And here was his response, and it should be our response. Listen carefully. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When's the last time you wept for your country? I know many of you have. Recently, I know you have, because you love this country. That's why I love doing this for you. I love speaking with you every week, because you do. You do care that much. But that's how serious it was. He wept, but we also now need to step up the next notch. And then he fasted and prayed. I'm asking you all to join me every Friday from now on to fast breakfast and lunch, so it's doable for anyone. Where you can eat on Thursday night dinner, but then you don't eat again until 5 o'clock on Friday. And I'm going to do this with you every week. And we're going to fast and pray for our country. And during the time you'd be eating breakfast or lunch, just get on your knees for 15, 20 minutes. God help us. If you don't know what to say, just say, help us. When you ask a loving Father for help, he's listening. And he knows what needs to be done anyway. And ask him to help you be effective in making a difference and knowing what he would have you to do. Do that every Friday until God has allowed us to rebuild the walls and put up new gates and change things. We need to fast and pray for our country. And here's how we do it. Listen to what he said then. And so then as he started fasting and praying, here's what he said. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So that he's praying to God, he's saying, you can do the impossible of allowing me to build back the walls and put back up the gates. He's saying, let thine ear now be attentive. Please listen to me. And thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. We need to get on our knees and repent. And say exactly what Nehemiah said to God. We have sinned against you. We have not raised our children to love and fear you like we should. We haven't stood for the truth like we should because we were scared or we thought we might lose our job. That's over. Now it's time to stand for him. If we lose our job, he will provide. He will do. If we are standing for what is right, he promises to take care of us. It might not be exactly how we planned it, but it will be perfect because that's who he is. But I encourage you, read the whole book of Nehemiah. You fathers listening, read this slowly, chapter by chapter to your family, because as it goes on through the whole book, it's incredible. And it gives us a blueprint for what we need to do, one family at a time. I'll get to the end of the story, but you need to read the whole middle of the story. After he did this, God did answer his prayer, and he was able to go back. And with good leadership, and this is so encouraging, with good leadership, Nehemiah, and with the blessing of God on his work, was able to organize the families, and he had each family build the wall back that was attached to their private property right where they were. That's what we all need to do. We need to start right where we are, in our own families, in our own churches, in our neighborhood, and start building back the wall as we stand for truth and refuse to live by lies. And the amazing turn of events, how God blessed it. The walls of Jerusalem that had been down for over 100 years were built back and complete in 52 days with God's blessing and a man of God who was repentant and asking God, admitting to God he's a sinner and asking God to have mercy and to bless his efforts to make a difference. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Every Friday, no breakfast, no lunch if you can. Eat at 5 o'clock. We'll have a dinner of Thanksgiving on Friday, thanking God for all his many blessings. But during the day, we're going to pray for America and that God would help us be the salt and the light in a way that is supernatural and that we can see his hand of blessing on our little loaves and fishes and that it does so much more than we could ever have imagined. But anyway, I hope this wasn't too heavy, but it's a truth. I have to speak the truth to you because I love you. America has been taken over completely. I realize just with Afghanistan, wait a minute, even our military is against us. And so there's nothing left except us, we the people. The only solutions that will be forthcoming are going to be coming from we the people. And I don't know what they all are, but I know a good start is right here in Nehemiah when we say, God, we have sinned against you. Would you help us rebuild the walls around our country? But anyway, I appreciate you so much. So enjoy speaking with you each week. And until next week, God bless you.